Time for another edition of our Tibbetts Talk, and today something a little bit different in the focus at the Tibbetts Opera House. Renowned Yemeni jewelry expert and author Marjorie Ransom will present a free lecture on Yemeni culture at the Tibbetts this Saturday, 1 o'clock. And the presentation not only talking about Yemen, but also showing off a collection of Yemeni jewelry. Now, joining us on the line is Marjorie. And I guess maybe first off, kind of give us a little background of you. You actually spent a number of years in the diplomatic corps or in that whole region that got you fascinated about the Yemeni culture, didn't it, Marjorie?
Yes. Well, my late husband and I were the first Arabic-speaking tandem couple in the Middle East. And we, I think our interest in jewelry developed when we were posted in Jeddah and learned that the old silver pieces were melted to make new for the bride. And we liked the old pieces. So we started visiting the silver dealers and asking to see their melting pot. And we found some real treasures there. And then we went on to collect, at first we started collecting pieces that I would wear, but then we found ourselves collecting bigger pieces, and before we knew it, we were becoming collectors.
Well, you've actually written a book called Silver Treasures from the Land of Sheba. How did that whole project come about?
Well, I was asked to talk about Yemeni jewelry in September 2003. There was a seminar on Yemeni culture at the Freer Sackler Gallery, and I showed pictures of Yemeni jewelry and talked a bit about Yemen, but I made it very clear to the audience that I had no idea who had made these things or where exactly in Yemen they had come from. And as luck would have it, and truly I think some things are written, the former Prime Minister, Abdul Karim al-Iryani, was sitting in the front row. He declared that my talk was just sheer poetry, and he urged me to study and write about the jewelry.
So how did you go about studying that and finding out the history of that jewelry then?
Well, it was an adventure. Well, my husband died 3 months after that lecture, and I was desperate for something to help me deal with my grief. I had to do something that I was really passionate about. And if there was one thing I was passionate about, it was Yemeni silver jewelry. So I applied for a grant. And then I waited. I had no idea if I would win one because it wasn't a typical anthropological study. And I did. I received the grant. I went to Yemen, and I learned on the ground how to effectively collect information. I had to do it by myself, and I had to use my Arabic and listen, and honestly, I guess any people, but especially Yemenis, love it when you're interested in their culture. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to people who had never been asked about, the silversmiths had never been asked about how they made the jewelry. And from there, it was really very easy. I would go with a driver. I traveled all over the country to very remote places. And Yemenis are funny. They're open, they're fun, the country is extraordinarily beautiful. It really was one of the best periods of my life.
Well, of course, there's a large Yemeni population in the Coldwater area right now. You've exhibited at the Arab American National Museum, other museums, you know, been around the U.S. lecturing on this. This will have a kind of a particular impact here locally, won't it? You think on some of the Yemeni women that live in Coldwater to hear the story?
Well, what attracted me to Coldwater was your wonderful director of audience outreach, Tammy Barnes, who told me that there were some Yemeni women in the community there who are very interested in the jewelry and in hearing my take on about the importance of these wonderful pieces.
Well, it's certainly a particular kind of art that, again, thankfully you've been able to kind of maybe resurrect a little bit and put in book form. What can people kind of maybe expect to hear on Saturday then during your presentation?
Well, I call my talk Jewelry Empowering Women and the Story in Yemen, because the jewelry was very important to the economy in the first part of the 20th century. It was key in the bride price that was negotiated in the marriage contract. And upon marriage, a large amount of this jewelry became the property of the wife, the woman. And truly, the family used it as a bank. They sold pieces when in time of need, and they bought in time of prosperity. For example, tribes people would buy jewelry after they sold their they slaughtered their animals. And they will, my audience will hear that, they will see absolutely beautiful pictures of Yemen, of women wearing the jewelry itself, of costumes, and the amazing scenery and architecture. It's just such an exciting, wonderful story that I tell, and I will bring some examples. I will dress a mannequin as a bride in Sana'a. The mannequin will have a wonderful indigo-dyed dress. Yemenis had a very special way of using indigo dye and putting the wonderful jewelry of a Sana'a bride. And then I bring a score of examples of new work done by young silversmiths from the year 2000 forward. And the jewelry that these young men have worn is full proof of their considerable talent and ability. They're, some of these pieces are every bit as good as jewelry that was made much earlier.
Yeah, fascinating. And also, again, it gives kind of that cultural understanding between our cultures, the Arab American community and our other communities here through these presentations. Michigan Humanities Council Heritage Grant helping to fund this, I know. Out of your either your collection or things that you've come across, is there one or two pieces that are your favorites that are like must-sees for you?
Oh, my goodness. I have quite a few of favorites that I wear. I tend to... when I buy clothes to wear, I just buy them as a backdrop for jewelry, so I have different pieces for different dresses. In fact, it was funny when I worked in Egypt one time, and when my employees gave me a farewell party, they told me that I was especially popular to them as a supervisor because they could always hear me coming.
You never sneak up on anybody, huh?
No.
Well, it's a wonderful story. We're looking forward to hear it this Saturday afternoon, 1 o'clock, the Tibbetts Opera House, Marjorie Ransom, author of the book, too, and you'll get a chance to talk to people about the book as well. Silver Treasures from the Land of Sheba, Yemeni Regional Jewelry, but the whole story of jewelry empowering women at the Tibbetts this Saturday. Marjorie, thanks for joining us, all right?
Thank you so much, Ken.
Marjorie Ransom with us on this edition of our Tibbetts Talk, AM 1590 and FM 95.5 WTVB.